The Mishnah on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph records a machlokes in two cases between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. In the first case, the Bali Dinim agree to accept as a Dayan a Karov, someone who's technically possible and disqualified as a Dayan. And the Machlokas is the following: Rabbi Meir Omer Yochel Lachzor Bo, V'Chachomim Omerim Eino Yochel Lachzor Bo. Now, what we want to understand is, what are they arguing about? Obviously, just on a simple level, the question is whether his commitment to accept these unqualified judges is a binding commitment, irretractable. That's the Chachamim. Rabbi says no. He leaves himself room to rescind and cancel his original agreement. Now, let's assume for the time being that is the, let's say it's the nitba who stands to lose, and he's saying, I'm going to pay you despite the fact that these dayanim are not kasherim. And the Gemara identifies that as etein lecha, that the nitba is committing himself to pay even when he doesn't have to pay, according to the strict letter of the law. In the case of the Tovea, he's committing himself to drop the case against the Nitba if this unqualified or disqualified judge will rule in favor of the Nitba. And that's called Machulacha, that's called a Mechila. So the Gemara is going to debate what is the scope of the machlokes between Chacham and Meir? Are they arguing about a case of machlokha, and that's going to be the sheet of Shmuel, but there's no machlokes about etein lecha? Or perhaps in Rabbi Yochanan's sheet there, arguing about etein lecha, and maybe in the case of machlokha, everybody agrees, ein yochel lachzor bo. That's the Sugya Sagamara. Now, later on in this Sugya, if you fast forward towards the end of Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, you'll see that the Gemara assumes that we need both the Reisha of the Mishnah and the Seif of the Mishnah. And the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out why we need both. So what we want to study right now is the Yad Ramah. And that you'll see on the bottom of your page, on the right column. The Yad Ramah writes that the fundamental premise or the operating rule upon which Rabbi Meir builds his shita of Yochel Lachzor Bo is Kevan Shalokanu Miyado. So you want to underline those words. Those are the key words in the Yad Ramah. The keystone, says the Yad Ramah, of unlocking the mystery of Rabbi Meir as to why this commitment is not binding and he can really change his mind is the absence of a kinyan. And Rabbi Meir holds that there's something called a hischayvus bidvarim, when a person commits himself by making a verbal statement, a declaration, and then there's something called a kinyan. where he objectifies or solidifies his hischayvus in the form of an objective kinyan. And the sheet of Rabbi Meir is that there's no such thing as a binding hischayvus bidvarim. Dvarim ba'alma could never generate hischayvus. Just like if I say to you, I'll give you this table that's mine, I can change my mind as long as I didn't give it to you with a kinyan. So I could agree with you from now until doomsday that this tie belongs to you, but it wouldn't belong to you until I gave you a kinyan. You did a b'hagbah. Here also, let's say the Tovea says to the Nitba, I don't have any claim against you. Or the Nitba says to the Tovea, I'll pay you. That's a hischayvus bidvarim. Says Reb Meir, that doesn't clinch a hischayvus. You need kanu miyado. And if there's no kanu miyado, then yachol achzor bo. Let's look at the Rashbam in Masechta Bava Basra, because this sugya appears there as well. And then the Rashbam on Daf Kuf Chav Ches says Yochel Lachzer Bo Didvarim Bi Alma Belo Kinyan Hu Dekamer Le. All he's saying to him is Dvarim Bi Alma, but there was no Maisa Kinyan. Ulechora, it seems like he's on the same page as the Ad Ramah, that according to Rabbi Meir, the reason why this is not a binding commitment and he can retract is because there was no kanu miyado. There was no maisa kinyan. It was only a schayvus bidvar. So far we have two Rishonim, the Yad Ramah and the Rashbam, who give us a clear understanding of Rabbi Meir's Shita, that Yochel Lachzer Bo, because there was no kinyan biyado, there was only his chayvus bidvar. What about the Chachamim? The Chachamim say, Ein Yochel Lachzer Bo. Well, that's a bit of a challenge. So for this, we want to see Tosus and Bava Metzia on Daf Ayin Dalet. And Tosus there is going to connect to our sugya here in Sanhedrin. And Tosus writes, Yesh Mekomos Shekanu, that the kinyan is chal below kinyan, without a maisa kinyan, bidvar bi'alma. And to demonstrate this, Tosus quotes our sugya according to the Chachamim. Kigon b'Sanhedrin daf chav dalid neman alai abba devi etein lecha machlokes, which means that the Nitba is saying to the Tovea, I'll pay you up if these judges find me guilty, so to speak, as accused. V'chein darli v'chai roshcha. So too in the case where the Nitba says to the Tovea, if it's a Shvuas Nishba Menotel, you don't have to take the Shvua. That's called Etein Lecha. Eina Yochel Lachzer Bo. Now what does that mean? I say, I commit myself to give you money out of my pocket. Was there a kinyan? So why would the Chachamim hold Eina Yochel Lachzer Bo? But what makes this into a binding hischayvus? So Tosus says, Hasam dinhu, dinhu means it makes sense, sheyoil, that the statement of neman alai abba should be effective to the extent to which it's irretractable. Why kevan? And here's where Tosus gives his explanation. Kevan sheyesh lem tviya ze al ze. So it's not like a case where I stand up in front of two edim and I say, Etein lecha, you know, I'll give you 1,000 zuz. Here's a case where you sued me in a court of law based on a claim against me, which you claim that you can bolster and fortify that claim with evidence, and I deny the claim. Says Tosus, Kevan sheyesh lem tviya zel zeh, veheim kiblu aleihem kach es hadin, kach meaning with a posel ladun, is therefore it's binding, according to Chacham Remeir, eino yochel lachzer bo. Velo dami lehecha she'ein lo shum tviya, where on his own initiative, he commits himself to give a certain sum of money out of pocket. That etein lecha would certainly, even according to Chachamim, be very tenuous for yochel lachzer bo. But in our case, where there was already a din udvarim, there's already a tviya, an accounted tviya, and the case has already been brought into a bezdin, and they accepted this bezdin, even including a person who is clearly a karvi's posel. Through this combination of Yeshlem Tviya Zel Zef, plus the fact that they accepted this Bezdin, that's a unique case in which the Chachamim say, Eina Yochel Lachzer Bo. So the Gvuris Yitzchak adds a comment here. He says, Mevur mi divrehem, let's derive from Tosus the time of the Rabbanon. Why the Rabbanon hold the Eini Yochel Lachzer Bo? Mishum dechal aleihem ischayvus bidvarim bi'alma. That the commitment to pay etein lecha is ischayvus dvarim. But wait a second, we know that ischayvus dvarim is not binding. The afagav the Ein Kan Maisa Kinyan. So what does Tosus mean when he says Kamen Shiyeshlem Tviya Zel Zeh Veheim Kiblu Aleihem Kach Es Hadin? What it means is that there's something called Gomar Umakni. We have to underline those two words, Gomar Umakni, which means that there's something that could substitute for a Kinyan. And that's called Gomar Mak. As if to say, the whole purpose of a Kinyan is to create an objective statement or to concretize Gomar Makne. But if Luyitsuyer, we would have Gomar Makne without a Kinyan, that would also be fine. Because the whole purpose of the Kinyan is only to reflect or to express the Gomar Umakni. The real creator of the Kinyan, the power or the agency that creates the Kinyan, is Gomar Umakni. Now, where does this phrase Gomar Umakni come from? I don't see it in the Tosus in Bava Basra that he quotes, but it comes from our Gemara. Because the Gemara is going to say that the difference between Tolev Adas Achirim and Tolev Adas Atzmo is whether or not there's Gomar Umakni. So we see that the Gemara is focused totally on Gomar Umakni. And if you would have reason to believe that his statement fulfills that requirement and can be classified as Gomar Umakni, then you don't need a Maisa Kinyan. Now, how do we set up this Gomar Umakni? How do we know and establish that it was Gomar Umakni? Kevan sheyesh lem tviya zel zeh, and they decided to go to a certain bezdin, which technically would not qualify. It's Gomar Umakni b'li Maisa Kinyan. So just to summarize, we have the Rama and the Rashbam explaining Rabbi Meir, Yochel Lachzer Bo, and that is because it's only a Schaivus B'dvarim without a Kinyan. And we have now the Chachamim of Rabbi Meir that hold Eino Yochel Lachzer Bo because we have a substitute for Kinyan. And what's a substitute for Kinyan? Gomar Umakni. Now, Rabosai, I am not absolutely convinced that that's what Tosus is saying in Masechta Baba, b'metziyah. Because Tosis doesn't use the terminology gomru maknin. Tosis' language is heim kiblu aleim kachas adin. Now, I'm not sure, but it could be that what Tosis is saying is that they have a certain authority vested in them as litigants, as bali din, to validate a bezdin only for themselves. In other words, you can talk about a bezdin and know and decide whether they qualify, they don't qualify. That's as far as everybody's concerned. Can these judges sit in on it can they decide a case of dini mominus? But there's also a kind of establishment of a bezdin only for this case, only for Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon are the litigants. They don't have the power to qualify someone who's not qualified, but they have the power to say that we overlook that technical psul, that disqualification, and we accept this bezdin upon us as the authoritative court that will make the decision and issue a verdict. The Gemara's Yitzchak is not happy with that because he doesn't think that that's going to circumvent the need for a kinyan just because you recognize this bezdin. But I'm just pointing out that the words of Tosfos seem to indicate that the two litigants are giving a certain gishpanka, they're recognizing and approving this bezdin, and that they can do that as far as themselves. It's a little bit similar to Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah. I don't mean to equate it, but although I don't have the authority to testify that this piece of meat is asur, I can still say that for me it's asur. And if I go ahead and eat it, then I violated an Isur. That's called Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah. So too, when you organize a bezdin, there are objective qualifications, and then there's a possibility for the two litigants to say that we are makabel this bezdin, and even if they're not a valid bezdin, but for us, Shavya Nafshe, we made it, we accept it upon ourselves as a valid bezdin. And that would mean that ultimately the choice of a bezdin and the authority that's vested in a bezdin is not just a question of how much knowledge the dayanim have, but it's a question of whether the bali dinim accept this bezdin. And if they do, that makes it into a bezdin. Once it's a bezdin, then the reason why the nitva is going to have to pay up is not because of gavru makne, not because of ischayvus dvarim. He has to pay up because the bezdin itself decided that he has to pay. That verdict is oras bezdin, which is valid in dini momenos, even though the bezdin is not really a bezdin, but because the litigants accepted this bezdin upon themselves as a bezdin. But that's not the Gemara's Yitzchak. The Gemara's Yitzchak is saying the whole discussion here, Chachamim, Rabbi Meir, Tosfos here, the Ad Ramah here, the Rashbam here, it's all about one issue. Is there a way of substituting a Maisa Kinyan in a case of Dini Mominos waiving the requirement of a Maisa Kinyan in favor of Gomar Umakne, a full-fledged decision on the part of the Bali Dinim that they will accept the verdict of the Dayanim, no matter which way the wind blows? And that's called Gomar Umakne. That's why the Rabbanan say Eina Yochel Lachzor Bo, there's no Kinyan. And we saw over and over again in the Rishonim that Rabbi Meir says Yochel Lachzor because there was no Maisa Kinyan. The answer is you don't need a Maisa Kinyan in a case of Gomer Umak. And honestly, this reminds me of a sugya in Masechta Kiddushin, which is called the sugya of what's it called? I'm just looking for the word. Not shushvinon, of sivlonos. Oh, the sugi of sivlonos. That's what it reminds me of. The Gemara says that if the father of the chas and the father of the kala agree before the marriage that he will give so-and-so and he will give so-and-so, and then the couple get married, he's mekadesh her. So the Gemara says, "Hein hein hadvarim haniknim b'amira." There was never a ma'aseh kinyan. There was a question of dowry, of participation in this couple, and how financially are they going to get off the ground. And each parent, respectively, made his commitment as to how much he's willing to put in. And the two of them, he representing the husband, the chassan, and he representing the kala, they came to that agreement that based on this financial arrangement and these two commitments, the marriage is going to be viable. And now they went ahead and they got married. That itself is going to clinch the kinyan, even though it was dvarim haniknim b'amira. And I would submit to you that this concept that we see here in our Gemara called Gomar Umakni, which means Gemir Stas, that's what underlies the sugya of Hein Hein Advar Maniknim Be'amira. That sometimes the facts on the ground and the evidence and the scenario indicate so clearly that there was a complete Gemir Stas, you don't even need a kinyan. So this is something that's pretty radical within the context of Choshen Mishpat. It undermines like 90% of Choshen Mishpat. 90% of Choshen Mishpat is based on a Ma'aseh Kinyan. And without a Ma'aseh Kinyan, it's just words and and pledges. It's not binding. No, there is such a thing as a binding Kinyan with words alone and the absence of a Ma'aseh Kinyan. And for that we require what's called Gomar Umakni. So if two people are having a, how do you say it in English, a sikhsuch, an altercation, what's the word?
Argument.
What's the word?
Argument.
An argument, but I mean a financial argument, you know, but this should be another word for it anyway. And they come to the conclusion that let's go to a certain bezdin made up of him, and him. So the fact that they both agreed to be adjudicated in that bezdin, that's called Gomar Umakni. And that's what Tosis means when he says that since it's a tviya zel zeh and kiblu alayu to go to a certain bezdin, is then it's gomar umakni. Again, those words gomar umakni don't appear in Tosis, but we can say that that's what they have in mind. So again, in a word, the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Chachamim revolves around whether you need a ma'aseh kinyan in the case of Neman Alai Abba. Now we're going to take a look at Tosis and Ksubis on Daf Kuf Beis. And the Gemara says that there is such a thing as a kinyan ba'amira without a ma'aseh kinyan. And that's how Tosus interprets the sugya there, based on a different sugya in Bav Metzia, which is called Matana Mu'etes. So let's talk for a minute about Matana Mu'etes. I have to be mafish maser, and I have to deliver the maser to a Levi. I have the choice which Levi I want to choose. And that's a gift that I give to the Levi, Maaseh. So the case in Bava Metzia is where a Yisrael says to a Levi, Kur Maaseh Yesh Lecha B'yadi, a certain significant volume of Maaseh I have, and it goes to you. And the Gemara establishes in Bava Metzia Daf Mem Tes that Ben Levi Rashoi La Soso Trumas Maser Al Mokam Acher, which means that if the Levi has to be mafresh truma, right, on his masa that he gets from the Yisrael, he has to be mafresh truma. He can take from that masa that was specified, that was designated by verbal declaration, by so-and-so, and he could use that as truma, to give to the Kohen from his masa. Now the possibility of the Levi giving truma from his maser is predicated on the assumption that he owns the maser. If he doesn't own the maser, he cannot use that maser as a gift to the Kohen. He has to own it first. And if the Gemara establishes in Bamitzia that Rashoi Lasoso Trumas Masa al Mokum Acher, it must mean that he was Kone the maser. It's his. Hence he can give it to a Kohen and use it as truma to pater up on the maaseh. As we see clearly that even though there was nothing more than a statement, a verbal declaration on the part of Yisrael, that I have a kur maaseh here and it's for you, that's enough for the Ben Levi to acquire ownership over that maaseh, just simply by virtue of a verbal declaration. So we're seeing over and over again, and this will be our understanding of according to Tosus, of the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, that there is such a category called a kinyan ba'amira without a ma'aseh kinyan. And the Chachamim in our Mishnah here in Sanhedrin are going to apply that rule to the case of Nemanalai Abba. And even though there was no Maisa Kinyan, any Yochalachzer, but why? Because there's something that is Nikne Bamira, Beli Maisa Kinyan. And we saw it by Matana Muetis. Now the one who really gives us an insight with a great deal of clarity into this concept of Matana Muetis is Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha. And that's in his Kovet Shiurim on Baba Basra. And he says the following, that when the Gemara says about Matana Muetis that it is valid and the Levi can therefore be Mafis Trumas Maser because he owns this Maser, a Kur Maser, Yesh Chabiyadi, just by virtue of the declaration of the Yisrael. However, says Rabbi Elchanan, if you check out the Gemara Bava Basra, you'll add a whole new element to the equation. And that is that the Gemara says that in the case of Matana Muetis, Yachol Lachzor Bo. That really just torpedoes everything we've been saying. We've been saying that there's such a thing as a Kinyan Bamira B'Alma without a Maisa Kinyan. And that's going to apply to Meiser, which means to Matana Muetis. Well, now you're telling me that Yochol Lachzor Bo. Fekt Rabbi Elchanan, E name of the Kana, if the Gemara is telling us that the reason he can be Mafresh Trumas Maser from this Maser is because he made a Kinyan on it, is Amai Yochol Lachzor Bo. I mean, the whole essence of a Kinyan means that there's no room for Chazor. What does he say?
Concept of not having that it's chal, but you know in the back of your mind that it has
right.
His mind, you can still.
And when? Under what circumstances?
They have to be while they're sitting there for a month.
Right, but
what does it have to be?
But I was wondering if you caught, Mitch, if you caught this one phrase here, I think that really changes everything. He's going to say that on the condition number X, because again, you can't just say, well, you know what? A person made a kinyan, and it's going to be valid, but he can always be chozer. But you know, we're saying that in the case of Matana Muetis, the Levi, the Ben Levi, made a kinyan on this maser. Now you're going to tell me, well, yachol lachzor bo. How do you understand that? So if you notice, he adds a phrase here that's very, very important. Should we read it inside? He says the following. He says that in order to understand this Gemara Bava Metzia about the validity, or shall I say the scope of the validity of a Matana Muetis, we have to understand a Gemara in Bava Basra about what's called a Kinyan Sudar. And the Gemara Bava Basra regarding a Kinyan Sudar quotes a machlokas between Rava and Rav Yosef about how long of a time period do we give the Makne the rights to be Chozer Bo. Both Rava and Rav Yosef agree that in the case of a Kenyan Sudar, there's a certain time period post the Kenyan which allows the Makne to back out of the deal. And Rava says it's Kol Zman Sheyoshvim, Rav Yosef says Kol Zman Sheoskim Biyoso Inyan. Different time periods, different shiurim of how much time. So Rav Elchanan says that not only in the case of Matana Mu'etis Yochol Lachzor Bo, which means that the Yisrael who designates this maser for a particular Levi and he declares and he invites the Levi to take a, you know, come with a, you know, a shovel and a pail and scoop up all this maser for yourself, or come with a big bag or a truck, he can still be Chozer Bo. The Yisrael can say, you know what? I decided I want to give my maser to a different Levi. So Rav Elchanan asks the obvious question, if we're saying that in the case of Matana Mu'etes, there's a Kenyan which is Chal through Amira without a Maisa Kenyan, so what's pshat that Yochol Lachzor Bo? This is an anthema. This is a self-contradictory statement. You can't say A and not A at the same time. You can't say that there's a Kenyan and yet he can be Chozer Bo for the Kenyan. Those two are mutually exclusive. By definition, a Kenyan means that it's binding. So we have a double question now. I mean, it's the same question, but in two scenarios. Number one, in the case of Maser Yesh Lecha Biyadi, the Gemara establishes that Yochol Lachzor Bo. And now, says Rav Elchanan, I have a Gemara in Baba Basra, that in the case of a Kenyan Sudar, according to everybody, whether it's Rava or Rav Yosef, it's Yochol Lachzor Bo, up to a certain point in time. V'hainu taima, this is where I think Rav Elchanan really breaks new ground. The kevan shelo hotzi hadavar adayin birshuso. Okay, let's read that again, because I think this is what I call dropping the bomb here. Kevan shelo hotzi hadavar adayin birshuso. Rav Elchanan is saying, if I read him correctly, that there are two different categories of kinyan. There's one kinyan which is miyad liyad, which means I take a physical object and I give it over to you. Or a chazaka, where you enter into the property and it becomes, you know, your reshus. And that's 90%, if not more, of your kinyanim. That's classic universal kinyanim. But there is a small section or segment of kinyanim that belong to the following description, lo hotzi hadavar adayin mirshuso. It's not that the Makne gave something over to the Kohen. The Kenyan was established in a way that's external to the object. In other words, there was never any change in the position or the location of the object. It was never biyad liyad. And that kind of a Kenyan lends itself to chazara. Now, when do we have that kind of a kinyan where there was nothing done with the object? So, number one, we have it in the case of Matana Mu'etes, because it wasn't that the Levi has already scooped up the maser and put it into his truck. That hasn't happened yet. All that happened was that the Yisrael designates this maser for this Levi, and he makes a declaration as such, and he tells him, Maser yeshlecha biyadi, but there was never a transfer of the maser from one rishus to the other. The maser stayed and remained in exactly the same location. Or, for example, a Kenyan Sudar. I want to sell you a piece of property, real estate that's worth millions. You're not going to do kesef, you're shtar, chazaka, nothing. What's going to happen? We're going to do a Kenyan Sudar. In the case of a Kenyan Sudar, nothing changed hands and there was no chazaka that was established. And yet, that Kenyan is operative despite the fact that it's that it's lohotzi hadavar adayin bershusa. Says Rav Elchanan, if it's lohotzi hadavar adayin bershusa, kim lehu l'rabbanan, then although this kinyan is based on an amira declaration without a maisa kinyan, shekavanaso tia sheyuchal lachsar. In other words, we're doing a study, an analysis of his mindset, and we're saying that when does a person make an absolute kinyan and he's mocked and he knows he doesn't have a chance to get it back? That's only when he transfers the object into the reshus of the kona. But if the object is still sitting here on the table, and some sort of external kinyan is operating, like for example a kinyan sudar, which is a transfer on the sudar, not on the object. Or for example in the case of matana muetis in maser, where the maser remains stationary where it is in its location, he just makes a statement, maser yesh lecha biyadi. In such cases that he didn't transfer the physical object into the reshus of the koneh, then the makna always, we always assume that the makna allows himself a certain space, a certain room for changing his mind.
And basically, isn't he just saying that it's not really a real kinyan until there's actually a maaseh? And now,
I'll tell you why.
You're calling it a kinyan, but it really isn't until the maaseh happens.
Well, wait a second, Mitch. Here's the rub. What happens if the recipient does a kinyan before he gets the object? See, if you're going to say, well, the kinyan's not really a kinyan until he gets the object, then anything he does in the interim would be meaningless. So if the Levi now takes this maser and he's mafresh it al truma l'makom acher, that would be meaningless because the kinyan is not valid. So it's almost as if we're working with Lamafreya here, according to Rav Elchanan, meaning that eventually he's going to get a possession of the object, but it's his already from the time of the original declaration when he said Maser Yesh Lecha Biyadi. And the same thing is implied in Kinyan Suda. Like, let's say, for example, on Sunday, I sell you a piece of property with a Kinyan Suda. And you don't make the chazaka, you don't enter into the property until Tuesday. In the meantime, between Sunday and Tuesday, it doubled in price. Who gets that increment? And the answer is the kona gets it. Why? Because the kinyan is chal from the time of the kinyan suda.
You can change your mind.
And I can change my mind. So if I change my mind, I invalidate the kinyan, but if I decide not to change my mind, then the kinyan itself is valid. Even though I shouldn't say I never, but at least at that point in time, I didn't transfer ownership. It's a whole new concept. It's what you would call a kinyan al tanai, which means that I allow myself rights to negate the kinyan and rescind my agreement, but at the same time, the kinyan is valid in and of itself if I don't change my mind.
It's a
whole new concept.
Say you gave the lady gave the truma, and then the guy changes his mind. What happens?
Right, so somebody's eating truma and it's not really truma. You know, you're going to get into deep trouble over here.
Can you
think it over there? Sure. Etes, the makiri kahuna. So what happens here? He gives his maser on a general basis year in and year out to a certain specific levi. And here he says to the levi, come and pick up your maser. Even though at that moment in time he came to a definite conclusion, because again, every kinyan of dvarim with amira without a maisa kinyan is always based on gomru makni, as we said. Mikomakom, within the context of gomru makni, daito lahaknoso rak bitnai shall im lo yachzer bo. He allows himself that room to rescind his agreement. Until what point? What is the critical point when the kinyan is absolute and there's no room for retracting the kinyan? Ad sheyovel liad kohen. Now these words of ad sheyovel liad kohen are a you know, reiteration of what Rabbi Chanan said at the beginning of this presentation, namely that the reason why there is a built-in tnai is because lo hotzi adavra adayim rishuso. Once it becomes hotzi adayim hotzi rishuso and it's bali de kohen, then it's already irrevocable. V'im lo chazar bo. Oh, look at that! You see the word lamafreya. Kana kohen lamafreya. So Mitch asked very well. You know, the kohen who's going to get this truma is in a very precarious situation. I would recommend him highly to wait until, you know, the levi gets possession over this maaser, because if at some point the Yisrael decides for whatever reason to change his mind, this truma is not truma. It's tevel. Now that's a little bit less of a problem in the case of a kinyan sudar, because in the case of kinyan sudar, we're not dealing with tevel, we're only dealing with the question of whether or not the kona was kona, and the truth is we won't know whether the kona is kona until the clincher, which according to Rabbi Chanan is bal yada.
What happens with Pesach? You do Kinyan Sudar and
Sayyid Chametz. There's a Well, again, the Machne here is going to be very well advised not to rescind his agreement, because if he does, he violates two Lavim Doraisa by Yerobah Yimotze. So again, this is Rabbi Chanan. Now the Gvuris Yitzchak comes up to the plate, and based on this Rabbi Chanan, he wants to shed a new light on the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. We're talking about a case of Neman Alai Ava. V'nir di Eishlomer, v'emes mod Rabbi Meir l'chachamim, didvarim v'alma chalakinyin. Now wait a second. We just finished saying, based on the Ad Ramah and the Rashban, that Rabbi Meir says, yachol lachzervo, because there was never a Maisa Kinyin. Says Rabbi Chanan, says the Gvuris Yitzchak, in the light of Rabbi Chanan, we can radically change our understanding of Rabbi Meir. Yesh Lakar. What is Rabbi Meir Shita? Is Rabbi Meir Shita that there was no Kinyan, and therefore there's no Kinyan? Yochel Lachzer Bo, because there was no Kinyan. Or name, Rabbi Meir would also agree that there's a Kinyan. But Rabbi Meir holds that he could be Kona, and yet be Chozer Bo, which is a contradiction in terms. You can't say such a thing. It's totally ridiculous. The Ad Ramah and the Rashbam are going to insist that obviously Rabbi Meir is holding it's not a Kinyan. And that's why Yochel Lachzer Bo. If it would be a Kinyan, then the very essence or meaning of the word Kinyan is Ein Yochel Lachzer Bo. Now in Rabbi Chanan's Chiddush, which is revolutionary, you could have your cake and eat it. You could say A and not A at the same time. You could have a Kinyan with a tnai, so to speak, built in of Yochel Lachzer Bo. And that applies whenever the money has not been transferred or the object has not been transferred from the Rishus of the Machna to the Rishus of the Kona. Here too, the two litigants agreed to accept the verdict of these psulim, these judges who are psulim, but no money has changed hands at this point. Comes along Reb Meir and he says, you know what, I don't need a Kinyan. This would be an Amira and a Gavru Machne. And the Chachamim are correct. Everything that we said in the Chachamim, that this is Gavra Machne, says Rabbi Meir, Amen, I accept it. I'm Moda Leves. But, Yochel Lachzer Bo. What do you mean, Yochel Lachzer Bo? If it's a Kinyan Amira, and you don't need a Maisa Kinyan, how can Rabbi Meir turn around and then say Yochel Lachzer Bo? But the answer is, because since nothing has been delivered, the object or the money in this case has not been transferred from the Nitva to the Tovea, is therefore bidvarim v'alma chal kinyan eschayvus, and those are the key words here, which you have to underline three times. Elodak the svirle the Rabbi Meir dekamen shlo osa ma'isa kinyan elodvarim v'alma, and we added that lohotzi adover mirshuso is kavanoso shetia yochel. Or Shiyah, I don't know why he says Tia, Shiyah Yochel Lachzer Bo. He allows himself room for Chazorah. That's the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Again, we're not sure about the Shita of the Chachamim at this point, but at least we have a new opening, a new vista to understand Rabbi Meir. And now what the Gvuris Yitzchak does is he says, let's go back to the drawing board. We said that both the Ad Ramah and the Rashbam understood that according to Rabbi Meir, we don't have a Kinyan. And the reason why this chayvus is not chal is because it's only dvarim bi'alma without a kinyan. He says, well, let's re-examine the Rashbam. And maybe that's not the way the Rashbam is really interpreting Rabbi Meir. We were influenced by the Yad Ramah, and we assumed that the Rashbam was falling in suit, but maybe not. Maybe what the Rashbam is saying is Yachal Lachzer Bo. And why? Because this was a Kenyan Dvarim, which again is a Kenyan. You understand, if you look at the Rashbam, which is on the top left of your first page, he never says in Rabbi Meir that it's not a Kenyan. He's just saying that there was no Maisa Kenyan, it was only Dvarim Bi'alma. The Maisa Kenyan means that you take the object and you transfer it over from one hand to the other. So if there was no Maisa Kenyan, you're left with what? With Dvarim Bi'alma, which is not a Kenyan name. That's not what the Rashbam is saying. You're left with Dvarim Bi'alma, which is Garu Makne, and he's Kona with Amira. But Yachal Lachzer Bo. Why? Because since there was no Kenyan and there was never a delivery of the object from Rishus to Rishus, we're going to apply the principle of Rabbi Chanan to explain why in Kenyan Sudar and in the case of Makiri Kahuna, there is a possibility of Chazara. And the answer is because there was never a transfer of the object from Rishus to Rishus. It was a Kenyan Amira. The Kenyan is Chal, but Yachal Lachzer Bo. So it's really interesting. If we apply this understanding of the Rashbam to Rabbi Meir, it would come out that in cases of Amira, where there is a Gomer Umakti, Rabbi Meir would agree that Lamafreya, the Kenyan is Chal, from the Shas Amira, from the time that he made the declaration. That's a whole new understanding of Rabbi Meir. And it's not the way the Yad Ramah understands Rabbi Meir, because the Yad Ramah understood that according to Rabbi Meir, since there's no Maisa Kenyan, it's Eschaivus Bidvarim Bi'alma, and therefore it's not chal. It doesn't have any binding recognition or validity in halacha. Ki'im, no, that's not the understanding of the Rashbam. That rather, what Rabbi Meir is saying is afagav to dvarim bi'alma mischayev. The schayev is valid. Mikomakom daito sheyochol lachzer. All right, so we'll stop here. And I would say we're about halfway through, but it's a whole new understanding of Rabbi Meir, which perhaps you can fit into the Rashbam. I really don't know. Okay then? So I wish everyone a good day, and thank you for joining me.